Is the relentless violence in the Syrian civil war and the apparent resurgence of Syrian President Bashar Assad threatening to roll back the international community's apparent success in confiscating Syria's chemical weapons arsenal? At a meeting today at The Hague, the U.S. ambassador to the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, responsible for confiscating those weapons, expressed America's, quote, deep concern about Assad's failure to transport to Latakia the chemicals Syria promised it would surrender. Latakia is the destination port in Syria for chemical weapons bound for destruction on ships offshore. According to Reuters, Syria has released less than 5% of its chemical arsenal, and the remainder seems to be bottled up and unable to move. Reuters correspondent Anthony Deutsch, who is in The Hague, has been reporting on these problems. Anthony, welcome.
Good to be with you.
So sources familiar with the chemical weapons operation, I suspect they are in or close to the actual UN agency that's responsible for this, are saying that things are shutting down?
Yeah, I talked to several officials who are involved in the discussions with Syria and with the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, which is overseeing the process of destruction. And these officials told me that Syria is now about 6 to 8 weeks behind schedule in meeting targets in shipping the most dangerous chemicals out of the country, which were part of a deal worked out with the United States and Russia in September.
How much of this could be explained by this sort of fog of war chaos in Syria right now, and how much of this seems to be a deliberate attempt by Bashar al-Assad to take advantage of the situation and maybe change the whole course of this chemical weapons story?
Well, that of course, is the big question that they're trying to answer right now. Initially, they were giving the regime the benefit of the doubt. They had agreed to relinquish all their chemical weapons. And now, a couple of months later, they've handed over so little that a lot of these officials are starting to worry that there's more going on than just some delays due to the security situation on the ground in Syria. Now, the Syrian officials are claiming that the biggest problem is the security and that they're unable to transport these shipments of chemicals, which, admittedly, it's a tough job. There's a war going on, and it's dangerous to ship these chemicals around. So it's legitimate to say that it's a difficult operation. But the officials I spoke to said they have all the equipment and everything they need in place to do this, and that now they're very worried that the regime is stalling to gain the upper hand in the situation.
And there have been two shipments to this Syrian port of Latakia. And we've spoken on this program before, not with you, but with people at the with the organization, that there is a legitimate security concern by the OPCW of transshipping this on this route to Latakia. Nevertheless, the people that you're talking to say that that is not a sufficient explanation for why things are held up. Do we know where the chemical weapons are at this moment?
We do. They're scattered at several sites, around 10 sites across the country. We've known that there was fighting going on one of the roads, the main roads up to the port. The Syrian forces had to retake part of that road from rebel forces, and they did that, and there was fighting going on. So initially, there are some legitimate security concerns. But the officials who are involved in these discussions and who are briefed on the situation on the ground say that the Syrian forces who are in charge of transporting these chemicals have everything they need, the security they need, the equipment they need to get these chemicals on these trucks and get them up to the port. And they had agreed to do this, and they're now running well behind schedule. And this is threatening the overall plan, which was to destroy and to remove all chemical weapons from Syria by June this year.
The 4.1% that actually was successfully shipped, has that been destroyed?
No, not yet. The way that it's working is it's taken to the port up in the north. It's been transferred onto a Norwegian and Danish ships, which are going to be shuttling back and forth from the Mediterranean back to the port of Latakia. And eventually, they will be transferred onto an American vessel the Cape Ray, which has been outfitted with special equipment which will be used to neutralize the chemical weapons, to destroy them. That process has not begun yet because they don't actually have a large enough load. They're waiting for a bigger load before they're going to move on to the next stage. So this, having only 5%, which is really far less than officials had been expecting at this point, is really holding up the whole operation.
Well, that's very disheartening. Is there a shipment to Latakia in the cards, even on the schedule? Is there something ready to move, even though it's being delayed?
Well, it's interesting you ask, because I talked to an official who was in talks this morning with the Syrians, who said there's no indication at all that there are any other shipments ready to be moved to the port. So they're very concerned at this point.
When does this become a sort of stiff arm to the entire international community, particularly the United Nations? I know that Ban Ki-moon has expressed some concern, but we're going to reach a point where somebody's going to have to up the ante here.
Right. Well, the officials I spoke to said that we're not quite at the point of noncompliance, which would be when the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons could then report Syria as not meeting the agreement, which was backed up by a United Nations Security Council resolution. The next step would be for them to report Syria as being noncompliant, which could result in sanctions. That, however, is unlikely because Russia and China both have veto powers on the Security Council, and so far they've blocked any measures at the UN against the regime of Bashar al-Assad.
And Assad, of course, knows all of those details that you've just laid out, and one can speculate that in his mind he really thinks he has the OPCW over a barrel on this issue. Mr. Deutsch, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Anthony Deutsch, Reuters correspondent, speaking to us from The Hague. So we've been asking what robots can do for you. You've seen Robbie, C-3PO, and Wall-E on the big screen for years. What would your robot co-star do? Kate Contino on Facebook says she wants a robot to do her laundry. She's even named it. She writes, "I'd call him," I love that, "Sorter Foldbato." We love your robots and all their names.
This is Shabri in Portland, Oregon. And if my robot could do anything, I'd have it clean and organize my closets and junk drawers. And of course, be totally aware of what needed to be purged and what should be donated. Then maybe do the donating and collect the receipts.
Way too many blue blouses, Shabri, in Portland. You got to get rid of some of those. From Hannibal, Missouri, I would build a nano-sized robot that could record my thoughts and dreams so that I could review them later. That's a really interesting suggestion. Give us yours. What would your robot do for you? 877-8-MY-TAKE is our number. Much more at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.